Tonight is an evangelical night, and thank the Lord for what he has done so far in this service. Thank the Lord for the awareness of his people in giving testimonies and worshiping him, giving the fruit of our lips. Thank God for the fact that there are still children of God who are prepared to worship God in this fashion. And I'm glad for the Apostolic Church in America that has shown the level of resilience in moments of difficulty in continuing to worship God and continuing to make sure that the work of God goes on. Bless God for you. God is a good God. You're proving him to be that God. And we will continue to hold on to him dear, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise his name. For you who may have joined us late, we are looking on Romans chapter 1, reading from verse 15 to verse 17. And that is where we are going to spend some time tonight as we exhort from there what the Apostle Paul is saying to us. And remember, this is an evangelical night, a night in which we extend unto those who are yet to come into the kingdom, that they might come in and be a part of the family of God. While we would be glad for you to become a member of the Apostolic Church, but it is greater for you to become a member of the family of God, regardless of where you worship. If you choose to worship somewhere else, that's okay, but become a member of the family of God is what we are interested in. We love to have you with us. We love to have you joining this church to be a part of us. But it is more important to become a member of the family of God. And that's why we have this evangelical night in the month, the last Tuesday night of the month, where we extend the hand that you too might come into the kingdom of God. And so tonight, that's what we're doing here. You will be getting an invitation at the end of the presentation that you too might join us in as a member of the family of Christ. But let us look at what Paul has said here to us. And the main verse that we are going to look on tonight is verse 16. And verse 16 said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek." That's Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And the topic tonight is, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." A very well-known topic. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Is it interesting that Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ"? And I say it's interesting because right there, Paul wants all of us to know that the gospel is not your gospel. The gospel is not my gospel. The gospel is not his gospel, but the gospel is Christ's gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In another place, Paul, in Galatians chapter 1, Paul emphasized that if angel from heaven come down and preach to us another gospel than this that he has preached, let him be accursed. And then the apostle was not satisfied in saying it once, but he repeated the statement. Galatians chapter 1, from 1 to 6, read that and you will see it. He repeated it again. He said, if an angel from heaven came down and preached to us another gospel other than the one that he has preached, let that angel be a curse. Emphasizing the fact that the gospel that he is preaching is Christ's gospel. Alright? And I remember in our studies, the current study that we're doing right now, Acts, as we're studying the book of Acts, where we have just finished Acts 8. And there's a section in there that says, Philip went down to Samaria and preached to them Jesus. Not himself. And not somebody else. But Philip preached Jesus. Hallelujah. The gospel is not your gospel or my gospel or Paul's gospel or Philip's gospel or anybody else's gospel. The gospel is Jesus' gospel. And Paul said, I am not ashamed of it. Hallelujah. For it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. The strength of these testimonies that I heard tonight speak to the fact that we are aware of the goodness of God. We are aware of what God has done for us. We are aware of something that has happened to us, and we are eager to tell it. Paul, in giving his own testimony, is declaring to us that I am not ashamed of that gospel, the gospel of Christ. And we want to emphasize this a little bit more. When we talk about the gospel, we are not talking about a fiction. We're not talking about a novel that somebody wrote. And afterward, they build a movie on it. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about fiction. We are talking about a description. The gospel is a description of something that has happened. The gospel is describing an event that had happened. The gospel is describing a person who were involved in those events. The gospel is about an individual who lived at one time. And the work of that individual, the gospel is speaking to that for the world to hear and the world to see. And Paul is saying to us, I am not ashamed of that gospel. And we find especially when it comes to the crucifixion, Paul emphasized the importance of the gospel. When it comes to the crucifixion, he emphasized the importance of the gospel. Listen to how he present the gospel to the Corinthian church. How he embraced the truth of the gospel to the Corinthian church. Corinthians 15. Let's go there for a minute. First Corinthians chapter 15. Listen to what Paul said. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved through the gospel. Ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Paul is writing, and Paul is declaring that this gospel is what he presented to the Corinthians church. And as a result of presenting this to the Corinthians church, by that gospel, they were saved. By that gospel, they were saved. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, he declares. But there are three things here that he pointed out to the Corinthian church that I would like to share with us for a little while. There are three things in this said passage here that he pointed out to the Corinthian church that we should take a look on tonight. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 3, first point is in verse 3. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also receive, how that Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures. Remember what he said in Romans. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For what? It is the power of God unto salvation. And here he's emphasizing the fact that Jesus has died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that is very important here. Died for our sins. You know, recently I was talking to somebody, and the person was telling me that they have no sin. They are not a sinner. And I'm not talking about somebody who is born again, somebody who is a Christian. I'm talking about somebody who have not bowed the knee to the Lord. And the person is saying to me that they are not a sinner. That they are not a sinner. When you hear somebody say that, it is declaring to you that they are in the palm. They are in the palm of the enemy. They are in the palm of the dragon. They are in the kingdom of darkness and need to see the light. Because the word tells us that in 1 John, that if we say that we have no sin, we have made him a liar. If we say that we have no sin, the truth is not in us. And we have made God a liar. But I'm glad he didn't stop there. The word went on to say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The gospel is about somebody. The gospel is about what somebody did. And this is what Paul is emphasizing to the Corinthian church right here. About that person and what that person did in order to cleanse us from sin. The Bible even went on to say, for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners here tonight saved by grace. And Jesus went to the cross, as Paul said, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And I want to say to the church tonight, let's not discount this, because this is very important to all of you who are listening. And I trust that we have some first time listeners tonight, because this is absolutely important. We are talking about salvation, full and free, because of the action of somebody. Because of what somebody did, salvation becomes free and full. Paul said, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. You know, I like what Peter said. First Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I like what he said. Peter said, Jesus absorbed, Jesus took our sin in his own body on the tree. Jesus absorbed our sin in his body on the tree. He became what? Sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. A tremendous transaction took place at the cross. And what was that transaction? During the agony of Jesus, God was able to impute righteousness in us. He was able to take our sin and put it on Jesus, and took Jesus' righteousness and placed it on us. What a transaction that was done at the cross. That's why the apostle had to say, the gospel is not his, but the gospel is Jesus. It's about Jesus. Mighty transaction that took place there. But in order for us to benefit from it, we have to what? Believe that it actually happened. We have to believe that God has given up his son to the more severe punishment so as to allow humanity to come back into the fold of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul made sure that he emphasized this to the Corinthians brethren when he said, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And one of the important things that we need to remember is that it was not smooth sailing for Jesus. The enemy used shame as a weapon against Jesus. He used shame as a weapon against Jesus. But Hebrews remind us that he is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame, he went to the cross despising the shame. The enemy wants to use shame as a weapon against Jesus. And Jesus had to defeat shame. Jesus had to defeat shame. I find out this is one of the same weapons that the enemy is trying to use among many. Many, even some in the church. I happen to involve in different conversation at time with people. Some of them not even want to use the name Jesus. Not even want to call the name Jesus. You want to identify with him. And there is God to term like the man upstairs. The field, that is a more socially acceptable term. The man upstairs. Everybody will understand who the man upstairs is. But to call his name Jesus is to identify with him. To identify with his suffering. To identify with what he went through in order to make salvation possible. And Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For what? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it. Paul did not stop there as he exhort the Corinthians brethren. He went on to the other point. In verse 4, he said, and that he was buried. So not only know that he died, but Paul is emphasizing the fact that he was buried. Read in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9 tells you that he made his grave with the wicked. He was identified with the wicked. Two criminals was beside him when he was crucified. He was considered to be a criminal. As the Son of God, as the sinless Son of God, string up between two criminals, identifying with the sin, but yet without sin. He made his grave with the wicked, Isaiah tells us. As much as he was buried in a rich man's tomb, yet his death was brutal. The worst possible capital punishment there is. Jesus absorbed it so that he might make it possible for you and me to have salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And then the third point that Paul made here in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is when he said, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 4b. And he rose again according. You see, it is one thing that Jesus died. And everybody died. But the proof of his sinlessness lies in his resurrection. The proof of the fact that Jesus had no sin lies in the fact that he was resurrected. He described and said, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. If he was a sinner in any shape or form, there is no way that Jesus could come back from the dead. But hallelujah, Jesus declared before his crucifixion that the prince of the power of the here cometh, the devil cometh, and he has nothing in me. Nothing. The devil cannot point to one era in Jesus' life that he can say, yes, he has sinned here, he has sinned there. Jesus said, the enemy has nothing in me. Therefore, I can walk through, hallelujah, death. I can go into death, and I can come out of death as I choose. Because the prince of the power of the here, the devil, has nothing in me. And this is the Jesus. This is the Jesus who died on the cross and absorbed your sin and mine without becoming a sinner. Take on the cruelty of the cross so as to redeem us. And Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And then Paul went on to say, to the Jews first, and then to the Greek. What Paul is saying here is that the gospel has universal appeal. The same gospel that is Jesus' gospel. Not only that it was done in Palestine, but it has universal appeal to the Jews first and then to the Greek, he declares. I remember Matthew 24:14 tells us something. It tells us that this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for a witness and to all nations, and then shall the end come. Every person will hear this gospel. Every person will come in contact with the gospel, and it is going to be remain the same. It is going to speak to the same thing. You know why? Because God determined that it is going to be so. Titus reminded us of something very important. Titus declared in Titus 2 that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Now, I don't hear that leave out one person. All men of every nation, of every nationality, of every tongue, of every creed, the grace of God is making sure that he approach every single man. And the grace of God is not coming empty-handed. The word said the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. And what is it saying to all men as it appear unto them? The next verse tells us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we can live what? Soberly. We can live righteously. We can live goodly. We're in this present world. Because God is making sure that the grace of God brings salvation as a witness to every man. About what? The gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of which Paul said, I am not ashamed of. Now you know something, my friend? Let's take a look again on Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. Let's take a look on that verse again. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So as much as in me is, Paul writes, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Hallelujah. 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 Having understanding, having a good knowledge as to what the gospel represents. Not only from his own experience as a born-again child of God, but as he looked around and see the different lives that the gospel affects. The Apostle Paul is saying, I am now ready to take this gospel to Rome. And when we talk about Rome, what are we talking about here? In those days, Rome was the crossroad of the world. Rome was is like the cross. Rome was like New York, or even more than New York. If there is a city anywhere in the world right now that beaming with light and all the rest of it, that is what Rome was during the time of Paul here. I am this gospel that I've just described to you. Paul said, I am now ready to take it to Rome under the bright lights of the world. While Rome was considered the center of commerce worldwide, everything passed through Rome. Decision making that affect many other countries had to go through Rome. The pumps and the pride, the fashion, and all of these things are to be found nowhere else but Rome. It's a place where the light does not go off. Paul said, this gospel, I am ready to preach it in Rome. But one writer described Rome as the cesspool of wickedness, the cesspool of iniquity. Everything you could find there. And the Apostle Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel at Rome, because what? I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, the Greek first, the Jews first, and then also the Greek. Is going to take a gospel that speaks to the death of a man on a cross, the most gruesome death, with a man hanging on a cross who seemingly could not help himself. And Paul is going to take that gospel that doesn't seem to make sense in the eyes of the people of Rome. Paul is going to take this gospel to the bright lights of Rome, as he identifies with it and says, it is the power of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! This is the power of God, a man stretched out on a cross and died for our sins according to the scripture, to put us back in line with God, to put us back on a path where we can be called the children of God. I am not ashamed to take this gospel to Rome under the bright lights. As I said, there are many people right now, one of the reasons why you are not finding them in church, they don't want to identify with Jesus. There are many people who would encourage maybe their wives to go to church, but they themselves not coming. There are many people who probably might encourage your husband to go to church, but they themselves not coming. There are many people who would not keep up a conversation and call the name Jesus in the public. Well, there is something that Jesus said here in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. He said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Jesus is saying, if you're ashamed of me now, the time is coming when I am going to be also what? Ashamed of you before my Father and before the holy angel. Paul is saying, when I look on the gospel, when I look and see the humility that Jesus displayed in order to bring humanity back in line with God, and how much it affected me personally, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of this gospel, because I have discovered that it is appointed to God unto salvation. Repentance is a deer in the righteousness of God revealed. The gospel reveals something. As I preach the gospel in Rome, to those who are ashamed to identify with it. And there are many people in America right now. There are many people in America right now. As much as the gospel is preached on television and radio, and it is all over our phones, and in churches on Sundays, and even in the week as we are right now, there are still many people who are ashamed of the gospel. But Jesus had to overcome shame. The devil continued to use shame as a weapon against us. Use shame as a weapon against us. But Jesus was able to overcome the shame for the joy, for the joy that was set before him. Paul was able to overcome the shame as he said, I am going to take this gospel to Rome under the bright lights and elevate the name of Jesus, elevate the work of Jesus, elevate the kingdom of Jesus under the bright lights of Rome. A cesspool of iniquity. All that I've said to you tonight mean nothing unless you believe. Because it is the power of God, declare Paul, to everyone that believeth. And finally, look at what Paul said here in order for us to receive Jesus. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. Well-known passage of scripture. Listen to what Paul says here. That if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 If you are willing to confess the Lord Jesus. And what does it mean to confess Jesus as Lord? What does it mean to confess Jesus as Lord? It means that you confess and you believe that Jesus shares the same nature, the same power, the same authority, the same holiness, the same majesty in time and eternity with God. As you describe him and as you believe that he's Lord. Because that is the essence of his lordship. So the apostle here said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe, come back, that word believe again. Over in Romans he said, it is the power of God to everyone that believeth. And here, the qualification to become a child of God, he uses the word believe again. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Same message that he's preaching to the Corinthian church. Same message he's preaching to us. Same message he preached to Rome under the bright lights That message resonates and still effective tonight. Because it requires us doing the same thing. The man who stretched out there on the cross, seemingly unable to do anything to free himself. The man who they boxed, the man who they mocked, the man who they drive nails through his hands and his feet, spear through his side and a crown of thorns on his head. Blood running down in his face. And he could not even as much as use one of his hands to wipe off the blood on this and the perspiration running down because his hands were fixed to the cross. That man, Paul is saying, if we believe that he is Lord, we shall be saved. And then he went on to verse 10 by saying, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The gospel is about a person. The gospel is about what the person did. The gospel is not about you or me or Paul or anybody else. The gospel is about Jesus. And Paul is saying, in order for us to be saved, we have to embrace this man as Lord. And he's ready to preach it under the bright lights of Rome. You are here tonight, and you are not saved. And I said you are not saved, And I mean it from the depth of my heart. Because we discussed earlier on that if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. The word said we are deceiving ourselves to say that we have no sin. The word said if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because he is Lord. Jesus is Lord. You have been thinking about this for a long time. This is a serious thing. Paul realized how serious this thing is. He said, the just shall live by his faith. Exercising faith in the Lord Jesus, you shall live by your faith. And tonight, there are many people who have not yet bowed their knees to the Lord Jesus. But I trust that it will be done. It will be done. Sunday, we heard a sister pour out her heart. Pour out her heart as God pour his word into her. She was able to pour it out to us, emphasizing the answer for all of man's problems lies in the same man we are talking about tonight. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. The Apostolic Church in America is emphasizing this truth, that the gospel is about a man who gave himself a ransom that you and I be saved. And if you are not yet saved, if you have not yet embraced him as Lord and Savior, I encourage you to do that tonight. And I'm not going to be long here. And one of the things is that the Lord don't want, while the Lord was going through that, the Lord did not want anybody to pity him. To pity him. He did not want a soul to pity him. Some people were crying because of the ill treatment that Jesus was receiving. And Jesus was able to say to them, under the pressure that he was experiencing, weep not for me, but weep for yourself and for your children. Jesus didn't want anybody to pity him through the agony. Because what? He knew that it caused something to pay the penalty of sin for you and me. That's why tonight I'm appealing so hard to you who are listening. Without committing your life to the Lord. You may have committed your life, but you have brushed the whole experience aside. And you don't seem to wait and understand the value that is involved. What is called Jesus. Tonight I am appealing to you to take it up again. As the Apostle Paul realized what Jesus did and embraced it and said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'm asking you to look again. Look into the face of Jesus again. Make that decision to serve him as Lord. Is there somebody here who is willing to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of Jesus when I think about what he has done for me. Is there someone? The word said, if you are ashamed of him now, the time coming when he will be ashamed to own you before his Father and his holy angel. Embrace him now. My encouragement to you is to embrace him now and say, Jesus is Lord. Lord of my life. Is there somebody? Pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me, Pastor, that I might surrender to this man, Jesus. Father, we bless your name tonight, and we thank you for what you have carved out for us as believers. It is your right hand and your holy arm that has gotten you the victory. It is your determinate counsel that has sent Jesus to the cross so that humanity might be redeemed. I thank you. I thank you. When I remember the testimonies tonight given by your children, I thank you that we can bear witness to the fact that we embrace this man called Jesus. I thank you, Lord. But there are many more who need to come into the kingdom, Lord. Many more who needs to come into the kingdom. Tonight I don't know who might be listening. But touch the heart of somebody by your Holy Spirit. And cause them to see Jesus. And declare, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. I look to you, Father, that this word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that for which it is sent. Let somebody get saved as a result of this word, I pray. In Jesus' name.